Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take final roll.
37 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, no one is excused from the call today.
The prayer today is by Father Rudy Brunig of the Cathedral of the Nativity. The members may please rise for prayer.
Let us call to mind and take to heart the words of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name over all the earth. You have exalted your majesty above the heavens. When I beheld your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him? You have made him little less than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and whatever swims the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name over all the earth. Help us today, Lord, to exercise our stewardship over this creation in accordance with your will. Amen.
Will the Chief Clerk please certify as correctness of the previous day's journal? Representative Hayes? There's no objection. The prayer will be spread in the journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 108th day and House Supplement number 58.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 108th day in House Supplement number 58 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
If there's no objection, the journal and journal supplement will stand approved. Other guests for introduction to the House this morning. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, you and I have a couple of constituents in Gallery A this morning. They're RSVP students from Metlakatla, Roxana Booth and Mary Walker.
Representative Haugen. Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, looks like it's Southeast Day today. I have the RSVP candidate or student in Gallery A also. Her name is Marie Weddle.
Further guests for introduction. Representative Anderson.
I wanted to bring up reconsideration if there are no further guests for introduction.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of committee substitute for House Bill 556 at this time.
The clerk, please read the bill by title. This is the budget bill.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 556 amended by the Finance Committee. An act appropriating for the operating and capital expenses of the state government and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Question for the House is the final passage of Committee Substitute House Bill 556 as amended. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Rogers. Are there other members? Clerk may take final roll.
32 yeas, 6 nays.
House Bill 556 has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 556 amended be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call on final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, can we have an at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease.
Wingenham transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 58, urging Congress to appropriate money for the construction of the Dog Bay Boat Harbor Project, SD 966, Kodiak Harbor, Alaska. Legislative Resolve Number 13. House Joint Resolution Number 83, relating to compensation to Alaska physicians who participate in the Medicaid program. Legislative Resolve Number 14. House Joint Resolution Number 71, relating to the Bagotch Bogs Visitor Center. Legislative Resolve Number 15. Free Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 447, relating to the definition of municipal bonds under the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority Act and providing for an effective date, Chapter 23, SLA 1980. Free Conference Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 599, relating to the authority of the Board of Game and the Department of Fish and Game over domestic mammals, Chapter 24, SLA 1980. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Free Conference Committee report considering Senate Bill Number 88 and House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 88 rules, thus adopting Free Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 88, an act relating to truant children and providing for an effective date. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
There's a communication from the Legislative Board of Retirement Benefits submitting a recommendation and analysis of pending bills affecting state retirement systems. This report is the result of the Board's meeting of April 8, 1980, and includes the following bills: Committee Substitute for House Bill 880, Senate Bill 74, and Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 404. This will be placed in the supplemental journal. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Joint Resolution 68, proposed federal budget cuts and appropriations to the United States Postal Service and reduction in the federal cost of living allowance under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Parker, Fuller, Martin, and Eliason. Metcalf has no recommendation. Senate Joint Resolution Number 68 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 605 authorizing municipalities to participate in the program of supplementary employee benefits under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the State Affairs Committee Substitute for House Bill 605 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Duncan, McKinnon, Smith, Haugen, Guy, and Schaefer. House Bill 605 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has set House Bill 718, accounting for and payment of insurance premiums, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 718 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Munson, Halford, Bettesworth, Randolph, and Brown. House Bill 718 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 830, relating to alcohol and drug abuse, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 830, Finance, and recommends that it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Smith, Rogers, Haugen, Guy, and Schaefer. House Bill 830 has no further referral. The Committee on HES has had House Bill 968, adding a cost of living adjustment to maximum benefits paid to, as aid to families with dependent children, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 968 and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mrs. Munson, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Hurlburt, Barnes, Munson, and Byrne. House Bill 968 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 992, relating to the formation of coastal resource service areas, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 992 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, signing DuPass, Parker, and Branson, having no recommendation, O'Connell, Parr, and Metcalf. House Bill 992 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 70 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, directing the Alaska Legislative Council to revise AS 29, Municipal Government.
Judiciary.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, reference of House bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to today's calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 140 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act extending the authority of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation in making rural loans and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 140 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 140 and reports it back with individual recommendation and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing Dupas, Freeman, Schaefer, Guy, Haugen, and Rogers, having no recommendation, Smith and McKinnon. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Finance Committee substitute for a committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 140 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I've got a question on this. Yesterday we spent considerable time on the floor in this body discussing the sanctity of certain committee referrals and certain committee actions as it related to a bill dealing with the budget and art, and some attempt on this floor or successful attempt to make a committee amendment. We have here a bill that talks about, as I read the bill, it talks about, at least as it's listed here, I believe deals with rural loans. Is that correct? What is the title of the bill? Maybe I'm mistaken.
Will the clerk please read the title of the committee substitute?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 140 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to financial assistance for commercial purchasers of salmon and providing for an effective date.
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, this is a bill that deals with fish, and it seems to me that we may be breaking a precedent, and at least in terms of in my memory, as long as I've been a member of this body, which is now the fourth year, we've never had a bill relating to fish on this floor that has not been referred to resources. And I'm wondering, in view of the great concern that was expressed yesterday for precedent and the sanctity of certain committees, if this wasn't an oversight, perhaps on the part of the speaker. I realize when the bill was read across, it dealt only with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation in making rural loans, and it was referred to finance. But inasmuch as it's now coming to us as a fish bill, I wonder if perhaps we haven't breached some historical prerogative here, in as much as that we are bypassing the Resource Committee.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I think some of the observations made by the previous speaker are correct. There are times when action, as we took yesterday, I think, even though they're unprecedented, do occur. But I think at the very beginning of the session, we had another circumstance where the Finance Committee, I think after consultation with various chairman, cleared, you know, the action that had to be taken, and I think those actions have been taken. I think with concurrence of the with the chairman to take the original bill, which is a committee substitute for Senate Bill 140, an act extending the authority of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation in making rural loans. The Finance Committee, because of the seriousness of the matter, decided that they would take a Senate bill as a vehicle, since it already resides there, to take care of the emergency situation that exists, to prevent having to go through the entire hearing process that is required. I believe the co-chairman of the Resources Committee is well aware of the situation, and I believe would have no objection. If he cares to register it, he could probably do it at any time during our discussion. The situation is quite serious, and we are trying to do everything we can to expedite the process. And I believe there is precedence for taking bills that have moved from the Senate across to the other body to this body, and vice versa, that the other body has taken bills that have passed this body to expedite action, and that's merely the process being used today. I think the sponsors of the bills that are being used as vehicles were contacted, and I believe they concurred with the action that that's being taken today.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to elaborate upon Representative Hayes' remarks. You know, we're getting to that time of the session when we're going to do a lot of expediting, I'm sure. And it always is a real question to me as to, you know, when we play by the rules and when we play by expedition. But just to emphasize what's happened here, on April 13th, a bill was introduced in the Senate that had the title An Act Amending the Authority of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to Adopt Administrative Regulations. That bill was a substitute for that bill was adopted on March 8th by the Senate with the title An Act Extending the Authority of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation in Making Rural Loans and Providing for an Effective Date. And then on April 30th, the House put out a substitute with same bill number, still bill, House bill, or Senate Bill 140, an act relating to the financial assistance of commercial purchase of salmon and providing for an effective date. And as was pointed out by the minority leader of the largest minority, it's a totally different subject matter. In fact, all three of these mutations are totally different subject matters. And it has not been subjected to the careful, deliberate action that we all pride ourselves in and use as an excuse for holding up things that we don't want passed. I just want to clearly make the distinction of what's happened here.
Mr. Randolph, one thing you didn't read, the date on the Senate action was last year. Representative Rogers.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I was going to point out the same thing. The other thing is that the provisions on the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation are taken care of in other legislation. We did have the first action of this legislature was an emergency appropriation, and we had a similar process. This, I believe, for the fisheries is an equivalent emergency situation, and personally, when we are under that kind of situation, I don't have any problem with trying to expedite the procedure.
Representative Duncan.
May we have an ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Will House please come back to order? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to continue to maintain my objection and call for a vote on advancing this bill. I think that there is an important issue at stake here, not only regarding whether or not we're breaking some precedent and passing up a bill of reference that, as I said before, in my experience, has never been passed up on anything having to do with fish. And I think that the last part of the bill deals with a subject matter that's actually putting the stamp of approval on an investment of the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation that I think should have the perusal of the resource committee. If we're not going to have the resource committee look at this type of an issue, then perhaps we don't need the resource committee referral on a lot of other things. It seems to me that you know, we do have two co-chairmen. You know, one deals with fish, one deals with other areas. And if there's ever a bill that, in my opinion, that should have had the surveillance and the scrutiny of the resource committee, this is one. Here's the mention of a $3.5 million investment. Seems to me that there's more than purely finance involved in this bill. I think that would seem to me that the resource committee would be charged perhaps with looking into more than just the investment aspect. Is it a viable operation? As I said before, I not only object because there was a great deal of fuss raised here yesterday about certain prerogatives that had never been violated before, and the sanctity of certain of certain committees, but I think it really goes beyond that, and I'm going to maintain my objection.
The motion is the motion to adopt the committee substitute. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, on the points raised under the motion to advance the bill, adopt the committee substitute, speaking directly to again to the concern of the scrutiny of the bill, the House Finance Committee did hold several hearings on this bill, and it did move out of that committee, and I think it's, you know, it has received some investigation. But on the $3.5 million for the Ball Brothers Incorporated, they're an Alaskan-owned, Alaskan-based company, and they meet all the requirements all the requirements of the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation statutes. And in the statutes, there is a requirement of the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation to come to the legislature for any investments or any loans that they make beyond, I believe, $550,000. And the Ball Brothers, again, are an Alaskan-based, Alaskan-owned organization. They've gone through the scrutiny and the review and investigation by the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation. In addition to that, they do have collateral that can back up the loan. And this, again, you know, to make this clear, is that this is not a bailout. This is a loan program, and it's a very short-term loan. It's a six-month program, and this is going to give that particular company the necessary resources to operate for the 1980 season. So I'm not quite sure how, you know, what requirements have to be met, but I do know that the Commercial Fisheries and Agricultural Bank and the Alaska Renewable Resources Bank are going to have to follow the letter of intent that has been drafted, and you can find that in the journal on page 1148, and it does establish some guidelines on how this money can be used.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some questions just to clarify what the Majority Leader just said, and this is not a set-up colloquy. I don't know anything about this bill except that I've seen that, you know, this is in here. Here's what I think has just been represented to us, and maybe the Majority Leader or members of Finance Committee who dealt with this can say, yes, that's true, or no, it's not. Okay, the usual situation would be that if you had a specific name or reference to a private entity in a bill, that could arguably be special legislation, which would be both bad policy and might be unconstitutional. Apparently, the situation is that this is arguably general legislation in that the law that sets up the Renewable Resources Corporation apparently provides for a limit, and above that limit, each individual application that goes above it after approval by them must then go to the legislature for approval, and this is one of those under that procedure. And that all of that has been taken care of, that Renewable Resources Corporation has approved it, the Finance Committee has approved it, and it appears to be a responsible and in theory, bankable loan. Is this what I'm hearing? Is that correct?
Representative Rogers.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, that's correct. The Renewable Resources Corporation can't make a loan of over 5% of its assets to any one company without legislative approval. This is similar to what we do with hydro projects, where those projects over a certain size, we have to give a legislative authorization, and that again would be for an individual utility or whatever. And so I would say that Mr. Brown's second interpretation is the correct interpretation.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I understand the situation correctly, the whole fish processing industry is in trouble in this area. And the question I have is this, are we only going to take care of this one operation, and what are we going to do about the rest of the processors who have the same problem in the state of Alaska?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, that's a good question, and that's basically the question that the coastal communities have been wrestling with. And I'm going to have to get into the substance of the bill, Mr. Speaker, to address that question, if that's permissible. The problem the specific problem with the Ball Brothers is is one that was brought to the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation. And as I said, they did review that particular proposal and approved it, and it did go beyond the limits that are set by statute. And the request for waiver beyond that amount is incorporated in these bills as required by law. Now, going to the question of does this help anyone else beyond the Ball Brothers? Yes, it does. Draft letter of intent, if I may go to it now, just is that the salmon industry and the fishing industry in the state of Alaska is primarily relies primarily on one market, and that's the Japanese market, and the market has sagged dramatically over the last year, and because of the large numbers of fish that are in the Japanese market, their credit advances have dried up. Those processors that were getting loans and so forth from the Japanese lending community are no longer there. So what they're faced with, every processor, Alaskan-owned, Alaskan-based processor is faced with, is going to the what we call the normal lending agencies and various banks, and as I think everyone well knows, the interest rate for those loans is something like 22 to 23%, and there isn't a processor in the state, especially an Alaskan-owned, Alaskan-based processor, that can operate paying that kind of an interest rate on its PAC loans. So what this basically does is it gives the Alaskan-based, Alaskan-owned operations an opportunity to get a loan using the Commercial Fish and Agricultural Loan Bank rate, which is something in the neighborhood of 15 or 16%, I believe. And there is no intent to subsidize any loans, only to the extent that the Commercial Fisheries and Agricultural Loan Bank can leverage their money using the federal farm credit system, where they can take the money that we're hopefully going to appropriate today and leverage that into approximately $60 million for PAC loans for the 1980 season. This, again, to repeat myself, is a six-month loan program and is not intended to bail out New England Fish Company or any other outside-based, outside-owned fish processing company. We know that it's not just the Alaskan-based companies that are having problems, but we're not going to try to bail out those non-Alaskan processing companies. If we were to do that, as I understand it, the total required amount of funding that would be necessary would be something in the neighborhood of $300 million. As we moved along and tried to establish what the actual need was for the fish processing companies, we first represented to the Finance Committee that we didn't know the range of actual need for Alaskan-based, Alaskan-owned operators. And our first request to the Finance Committee was an outright general fund loan of $60 million. We brought that down somewhat because we were told by the Commercial Fisheries and Agriculture Loan Bank that they could leverage the $12 million amount to through the Federal Farm Credit System to increase that amount of money to make more money available for the purpose of providing processing purchase for the PAC for 1980 season available at a rate considerably lower than the normal banking system. The normal banking system, there are only, I think only one Alaskan bank does any significant PAC financing, and that's where we run into some pretty tough problems. And most of the PAC financing is done by two Seattle banks. They're Seattle First National and Rainier. And any small Alaskan company that went to any bank, even the one that does any PAC financing, would have a very difficult time because of the interest rate. I think I said that earlier. But under the program that is developed here with Commercial Fisheries and Agricultural Bank and the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation, money can be let at what is the market rate for the money that can be made available through the Federal Farm Credit System, which is about ranges between 15% and 16%. I don't know what it is right now, but somewhere in that range. So the two bills are intended to help the entire Alaskan fish processing industry that's Alaskan-owned and Alaskan-based. And there is absolutely no intent to bail out any companies or to get involved in last year's problems of assisting any companies that is non-Alaskan.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Through you to the former speaker, is the Ball Brothers Incorporated the investment firm that's located in Portland?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I should have mentioned that. I knew the question was going to come up. No, the Ball Brothers are located in Dillingham, and they've been based out of Dillingham for several years, and they do have a fairly good operation. They're not from Coos Bay, Oregon, I'm sure of that, because I grew up with these guys. I happen to know who they are.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, as I understand this bill, we're essentially proposing a loan and bailing out a portion of the fish industry on the premise that the fish market's going to come back up, and if it doesn't come back up, we may be left holding the bag, and that the fish are the security for the loan, and that if the fish market doesn't come back up, they might not be able to pay that loan. You know, we've been talking about the problems in the economy for a long time, and finally, they're reaching other areas of the state. There's various members of this legislature that have been trying to get
programs moving, not bailout programs, but solid loan programs that have solid security behind them and aren't dependent on the market to come back up. And, you know, I've got people back in my district going under right and left, and nobody seems to have been willing to get their very concerned over that and get things moving. We've had some capital improvement bills to provide jobs. They're still languishing in committee. They should have been out 2 months ago. We've got loan bills that should have been out 2 months ago. But this happens, and we're bailing out one specific individual. Well, you know, when I mention specific individuals, in various committees that were going under, we've got thousands of people going under in other areas of the state. And here one person comes up and we want to bail him out, or one company. When the rest of the legislature gets a little more concerned about the thousands in the other areas of the state that are going under, I might be willing to share the concern over this one particular entity. But I'm not willing to share the concern at this time.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, there's been considerable attempted explanation on the technical side of this. Maybe I could simplify it just a little. I'll give it a try anyway. This bill has to be taken in, obviously has to be taken in consideration with the bill that follows. And there's a difference in the problem here than we have in some industries. Let me give you an example. If you're a merchant and you go to the bank to borrow money to floor merchandise, and they give you a supply of money and you order a stock of widgets, and as you sell them, you pay the bank, pay off your loan, you give the money back. And to a certain degree, that's what we're trying to do here, but the problem is different in this respect. The processors go to the banks and they borrow money to buy fish. They process the fish and then they sell the fish and they pay off the bank. The market, they had some problems, as has been explained earlier, with the Japanese market. They haven't been able to move their inventory and therefore pay off the money that they owe the banks. They still have the merchandise. It's still good collateral. It's there. They just haven't been able to move it. Now, if you're selling widgets, all you do is you just stack them there and wait till the customers come. But you don't do that in the fishing industry. You don't stop the fish out in the mid-ocean and tell them we have an oversupply of fish, and you wait until we're ready for them. We've got to move this inventory. The fish are coming. They're on their way, and these people are either going to do one or two things. They're either going to have the money to buy and process the fish, or nothing happens. And if they can't buy fish from the fishermen can't sell fish, therefore they can't make the payments on the boats and keep their families fed and clothed and this sort of thing. So it's an emergency situation that doesn't apply to the normal business cycle when you're dealing with inventory. The problem and the testimony that we heard from the people in the fishing industry is not, and it's been pointing out, we're not necessarily trying to use state money to subsidize the loans. The money simply isn't available at any interest rate because they're committed and they have their money tied up in inventory, which they haven't been able to move, which is good merchandise, and it will sell in time. But we either do one of two things. We either find some method of providing them with money to buy the next pack, take care of it, or the fish die in the streams, whatever they do. So I don't see that there's anything wrong with it, and as far as I can see, that it would be a big mistake on our part to just let our entire fishing industry, I'm not really worried myself about the processors themselves, but we're talking about people who this is only a means of livelihood. And if the processors can't buy the fish, the fishermen can't sell them, nothing happens. So I don't see any reason why that we shouldn't go ahead with it. I find nothing wrong with the approach that we're taking here.
Representative Moss.
Feel like somebody has left the gate open in my barley field, and there's a bunch of buffalo done run in there. And I'd kind of like to talked to a couple of my colleagues on a brief at ease, so if I see if I can't shuffle them out of the field and find out just what the heck's going on here. Please, sir.
The House Police Entities. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to first respond to some comments from my colleague from Anchorage. You said that nothing's happening. I think if he'd been here the last 2 weeks, he'd realize that we are doing some things. The loan programs for housing and some of the others are progressing fairly well. The Free Conference Committee on the Capital Projects has just about completed its work. Now, what this bill does is it promotes the one area of the economy that we get the most popular support for, that's renewable resource development. Now, there are obviously no fish processors in my region, but what we're talking about is similar to what we did earlier this year for the agricultural projects, and that is to provide short-term financing for one season. And I think that's really critical if we want to keep our renewable resource development going. Now, the second thing I like about this, I didn't like the original version of the bill, which called for $75 million in state funds. Instead, now, that's been reduced to $15 million, and we're leveraging in $60 million of outside funds. Now, if we can do that well in the other areas, I'll be real pleased. We're probably going to have to go with a higher percentage of state funds. But that leveraging of outside capital in this really means we're using other people's money to keep our basic industries going. As for the comments about bailing out a specific business, I don't know too much about the Ball brothers, but the fact is that our legislation requires us to talk about specific businesses when the Renewable Resources Corporation makes a loan in excess of, right now, $550,000. And there are at least two other investments, one timber investment, and I forget what the other one is, that will also have to be acting on if they're to make those loans. This loan's been approved by the Board of Trustees of the Renewable Resources Corporation. They've been through it, and any other company that's renewable resource based that is looking for a loan can go to the Renewable Resources Corporation as well as to any bank or CFAB or anyone else and try to get a loan. And I think that talking about bailing somebody out, this isn't a bailout, it's a standard business transaction through the Renewable Resources Corporation, which we set up for this very purpose. And I would urge that this bill be advanced, that the committee substitute be adopted, and that we pass it.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I certainly understand the problem, and I understand commercial fishing industry is not in very good position, especially this coming season. However, what really concerns me with this bill is not so much a loan program, but when we single out a certain corporation and say we're stamping approval on that particular corporation, then we're going, then not considering the other ones who are just probably as well qualified as any other Alaska corporation to take advantage of this loan program. So I had two questions. Number one is that the $3.5 million, which is going to the Ball brothers, going to be leveraged? That's question number one. And question number two is, cannot the Ball Brothers Corporation be taken care of in Section 1 and 2 without Section 3?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, before a member of the Finance Committee answers that question, I'd like to review what I have learned here since I asked my first question and correct an implication that I may have created earlier. It appears that any other group could go to the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation, and if they approved or tentatively approved, subject to our approval, a loan over the level in the statute, that one would also come to this legislature and so forth. And that also the question of any constitutional cloud that I mentioned and then refuted in the question and answer that followed doesn't even exist at all, because this is not general funds money. Of course, this is coming out of the corporation funds, but this is part of their procedure for approving these things. And I think that those comments in part imply some answers to the member from Sitka, but I'm sure a finance member is going to want to go into more detail.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The answer is that on the $3.5 million, no, that's not leveraged. What happened is this company went into the Renewable Resources Corporation early on. They have a loan pending at this current time, and they're waiting for our approval. And what the other sections of the bill do is for other processors who are looking for loans to cover the summer fish pack or the 1980 fish pack, the rest of the bill covers those other fish purchasers. This one is singled out because they have already been through all the hoops of the Renewable Resources Corporation.
Representative Eliason.
Just to follow up a little further, Mr. Speaker, then we're saying, in other words, that by making a specific approval of this one loan, we're really taking about 12 or 15 or $20 million out of the available money by leveraging.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, the $15 million that's going to be leveraged is new general fund money. The investment in the Ball Brothers is money that was appropriated last year to the Renewable Resources Corporation as part of our annual appropriation of renewable resource development money to that corporation.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I'm not too impressed with the fact that the Alaska Renewable Resource Corporation has approved this loan. Haven't been too impressed with a lot of the things that they've done this last year. And I don't like the idea of the state of Alaska being yo-yoed around by the Japanese constantly when it comes to the market of our fish products. I think this proposal does nothing more than put a Band-Aid on a very, very big problem, a problem I think that we should have dealt with through the Resource Committee and with a lot of hearings. I don't really think we're in such a big hurry to leave here that we have to use a Band-Aid approach to such a serious problem. This is a real important statewide problem. Part of the problem is that the public in the world has a bad opinion of Alaskan fish because of a quality problem that happened last year, and the same processors that are having that problem are the ones that refused to have state inspectors inspect their facilities. They said they could police themselves, and this is an example of how they police themselves. I think the state needs to get more directly involved in these things. I'm in favor of the state of Alaska controlling the supply of fish that leaves the state of Alaska instead of letting the Japanese do it. So I think we should send this thing back to a committee and plan for a 10-year or even a longer-term approach to the problem of marketing our fish.
Representative Freeman?
Maybe we have a brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It appears that I had some comments I was going to reserve for later, but it appears that the debate on this bill is occurring in a more general way prior to advancement to second reading, and in that regard, I'd like to make a couple of points so that it's better understood what my concern is. This bill before us today, to a great extent, puts me in a dilemma, in as much as I think we all agree that part of the political scene is involved in at least our political well-being is based on public perception, and I think that many of us can attest to that as we experience from the pay raises which we dealt with here on the floor. And what I'm talking about, of course, is what is priorities. I think that, Mr. Speaker, that it's kind of ironic that this bill, which now reads an act relating to financial assistance for commercial purchasers of salmon, replaces a title which said an act extending the authority of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation in making rural loans. The point I'd like to make is that I do support providing financial assistance for commercial purchasers of salmon. But at the same time, and I think that it's a statewide issue. I think that's not an issue that is necessarily in the district that the majority leader comes from, or that you come from, or other members of this body. I think that it's an industry that we're all affected by in one way or another. But many of us from the biggest city in Alaska are primarily dependent on urban constituents for re-election, and I think that we have another issue there that is much more important in their mind, and that which brings me around to the matter of priorities. I think that we all know that we have a high rate of unemployment, which initially we tried to address through quick passage of a supplemental capital improvement project budget, which is still not law yet, although I think we all expect that to be the case in the next few days. We have put some money into housing. There's been some emergency money put into business loans, but not near enough in the opinion of the constituents that I represent, and I think a great number of the members of this body represent the same type of constituent. I think that they, as many of us have experienced in the last 10 days or 2 weeks, there's a great deal of a problem, particularly in the larger cities in this state relating to housing. People, because of an opportunity to get low interest money for housing, and because of apparently an unprecedented rush, have found themselves in what they consider a tremendous emergency, and many of us are hearing from hundreds of those constituents. And I know, Mr. Speaker, that you personally have been putting in a lot of time in the past few weeks trying to address this problem of loans and specifically housing, and also the business loan aspect. But the dilemma it puts me in is, of course, again, as I say, it's one of perception and priorities. And as much as I support loans for this particular industry, as I do loans for many of the industries in Alaska, and I'm sympathetic to it and sensitive to it, it appears that I'm going to find myself in a position of having to vote against this bill. I think that some other members of this body have made the same point in one regard, and that is perhaps we ought to be taking a look at the same time or within some very short time frame that we could depend upon the other loan programs that need some help in this state. And I would hope that we might be able to deal with these problems as a total package. Perhaps if we had them all on the calendar in one day, I think you'd find you wouldn't have the type of resistance that you're experiencing right now to this bill.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I've never been a member of the Finance Committee, and I don't meddle with them at all. I think everybody's aware of that. I don't even bug them very often, not nearly as often as some other members of the body. And I trust them to take care of the all these bills, but I do feel I have an obligation and responsibility, as does every other member of the body, on our overall financial posture. I think that's an obligation none of us can escape. And I know we were told 6 weeks ago or thereabouts, we had $4.16 billion coming in by the end of this next fiscal year, and the projected use of that money also amounted to $4.16 billion. Somewhat later, there was more information came out, and we had a projected deficit of $189 million or $183 million, I've forgotten the exact figure. I say I'm dealing in gross things that I think I have a responsibility to know about and a responsibility to act on. We have been told that we don't have a bottomless pocket, and relying on the information furnished by the Finance Committee, I've been writing a lot of my constituents and telling them that. And I've sure had a lot of letters on people who want more 9.5% loans, who want money put out for business loans, and all kinds of things. And I don't know that those have a higher priority than the loan to help out the fishermen. And I think that Mr. Freeman made a good point that it's not really the processors we're interested in helping. We're interested in helping the fishermen. I think it's a valid point. But what I would like to know, and I'd like to have a relatively firm commitment from the chairman of the Finance Committee on the effect that this, if it goes through, is going to have on our capability to meet these other needs that we're being pressured on. And if I have an assurance that, you know, that this is not going to adversely affect that, then I have a little different approach than if I find it is going to adversely affect it. And so far, I haven't heard that question addressed on this floor. I don't know what our situation is. I don't know what effect these bills, if approved, and I'm referring to both of them, are going to have on those other needs in the state. And until I get that, I'm kind of in a dilemma as to which way to go.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to... I understand Mr. Hayes's concern, and they're legitimate. But I want to assure him that there is a difference when we start talking about priorities, and this is the one of those situations where time is of the essence. The money that has been set aside, proposed, allocated, or whatever words you want to use for assistance and loan programs for the building industry, the argument and the question right now is whether it will be $300 million or $500 million. With the resolution that we passed when we first came here, we've already provided for $105 million of assistance to the building industry and home purchases. I don't know how many people exactly that affects, but let me give you some figures here. And I read here, the number of jobs created by catching and processing fish landed in Alaska is not yet available for 1979, but it is believed to be not greatly different from 1978, when employment during the third quarter of the year averaged 36,500 jobs. 26,200 jobs were jobs on fishing vessels, including vessel operators and crew members working for shares, and the remaining 10,300 were onshore wage and salary jobs in the fish processing, warehousing, and wholesale trade activities. On a 12-month basis, the average employee was 20,200 jobs in 1978. As I said earlier, one of the problems that we're faced with here is that there's only about so much time left to prepare, to lay in supplies, and do the things necessary to meet the upcoming fishing season. So when you start talking about priorities, I think it's only fair to take into consideration time, the timing of the thing. In my mind, there's absolutely no question, because we have a draft bill in Finance Committee right now, to approach and we hope will solve the problem as far as home loans are concerned. But when you talk about the amount of people, when you compare the ratio between the dollars, state dollars involved, which will not be subsidized loans, and the number of people involved and whose welfare is at stake in the fishing industry, to those, the amount of money that's going into the home loan program, it seems to me that there's nothing out of balance, except if it has to be on the side of the building industry. But again, I ask you to keep in mind that time is a problem here. These people have to lay in supplies and get ready for the season. If we spend too much time and we wait too long, we just well forget it. And I'd ask that the body take that in consideration when you vote on this bill.
I think Representative Parr had a question. Maybe you could restate that for Representative Meekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker. My question, very briefly, is put is this. If these bills are passed, what effect is that going to have on our capability to meet the other needs that we're getting lots of requests for? And I don't refer only to home loans. I also refer to business loans and other kinds. I'd like to know what our, yes, and I don't care about an exact figure, but I want some kind of assurance as to the impact, if any, that passage of these bills is going to have on the other programs that we all realize need to be taken care of.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, I can answer the question in regards to specifically loan programs, not just mortgage loans, but all loan programs, and I think there's no doubt that we'll be able to take care of those in the manner which we've been planning to. We can't, the state has never planned to take care of the entire market and to push out of the out of business all the financial institutions in the state, and I know that's not the intent of the question. So we have been talking about $300 to $500 million for loans that would be general fund money, and we have worked out several ways to accomplish that. I think the total amount of money that we're looking at in terms of loans that the state generates or facilitates, either by directly purchasing them or by leveraging state money with the bond market, is about $1 billion. And we're planning currently to meet that $1 billion mark. And in our calculations, this the money that you see before you in these bills is there. So we can do both of these two things. It is true, and I think implicit in the question, it is true that we cannot meet all the requests that have been placed upon us during this legislature. It's not possible, and I don't think that it's good policy that we meet all the requests that have been placed on us. But even the worthwhile ones, not all of them can be met. And we do have to rank priority. But I think it is possible, and it is within the current planning that we can meet both this need and the need for loans. Those two are high on their priority, and I don't deny that there'll be a crunch in some other areas that people may not like, but there certainly will be enough for these two things.
Representative Parr.
Well, Mr. Speaker, will that crunch come in terms of other new legislation that the body is now considering?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Could we have a very short at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recess till 1 p.m.
There's no objection. The House is in recess till 1 p.m. Check. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, in that case, I'd like the Commerce members to informally talk to me during the lunch break, because we do have to make some plans on trying to reconvene our morning meeting, as I warned them this morning. I'm not sure when that's going to be, but I would like to talk to them during the lunch break if I could. With that, I withdraw my objection, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further objection? There's no further objection. We're recessed till 1 o'clock. The House, please come to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to move that my motion to adopt the Finance Committee substitute be withdrawn.
There's no objection. The motion is withdrawn. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I've been requested by the Finance Committee Chairman to have these bills referred back to the Finance Committee for further work. It's obvious, I think, by the amount of discussion that there are some problems with the bill, and he thinks that he can work them out, and I suspect he'll be able to, since he is quite a miracle worker. At this time, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 140 be referred to the Finance Committee.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 140 will be referred to the Finance Committee. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 222 be referred to the Finance Committee.
There's no objection. Senate Bill number 222 will be referred back to the Finance Committee. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 644 by the Judiciary Committee, an act creating the Alaska Statehood Commission and providing for an effective date. We are in third reading and we have a motion to return to second reading for specific amendment pending.
Representative Rogers.
I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to call the House on this bill.
Representative Rogers, would you object to continuing on the calendar while we wait for the call of the House? Does any other member object? Representative Miles? House Presidentes. Back to order. House, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think as membership knows, this resolution clears up a little difference of interpretation between the legislature and the legal profession on one side and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs on the other. Without going into a long explanation, the resolution says that the law says what it means and it means what it says, and I think it will solve the problem if adopted by the legislature.
Is there any further debate? Question for the House, final passage, sponsor substitute House concurrent resolution number 45. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
34 yeas, no nays.
House concurrent resolution 45 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item.
Citation honoring Albro Bagley Gregory by Representatives Fuller and Schaefer and Senator Ferguson.
Representative Rogers.
I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor on this citation, please.
No objection. Representative Rogers will be shown as a co-sponsor. Representative Smith. Any other members? Representative Miles. Representative Hayes. Metcalf. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that all members be shown as sponsors.
There's no objection. All members will be shown as sponsors. Somebody move the citation. Representative Fuller.
Mr. Speaker, somebody asked me, who in the hell is he? And I'll take time later on to explain that to that gentleman. I'd like to move the citation.
There's no objection. Citation will be adopted. Completes the calendar under unfinished business. I'd like to refer several bills in the Rules Committee that have been found to have fiscal notes to the Finance Committee, House Concurrent Resolution 64, House Bill 118, House Bill 529, House Bill 983, and House Bill 630. Be referred to the Finance Committee. Are there other items unfinished business? Representative Anderson.
Brief at ease, please.
House Presidentes. House, please come back to order. If there's no objection, we'll revert to standing committee reports.
A Commerce Committee Chairman's letter of intent was received on committee substitute for House Bill 717. And I have a Senate message, Mr. Speaker.
If there's no objection, we'll revert to messages from the Senate.
The President has appointed a second free conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House to consider Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 3. Elections and Revising the Alaska Election Code Effective Date, and Committee Substitute for House Bill number 3, Loss and Restoration of Voting Rights. Senator Tillian, Chairman, Senator Mulcahy, Senator Ferguson. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us back to unfinished business. Are there any items unfinished business? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Rogers be excused from the call of the House June 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
There's no objection. Representative Rogers be excused in those dates. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Fred Brown be excused from the call of the House May 16th through 19th.
There's no objection. Representative Brown will be excused in those dates. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Barnes be excused from the call of the House May 7, 8, and 9.
There's no objection. Representative Barnes will be excused on those dates. That completes unfinished business. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet today at 3 o'clock, tonight at 7, and tomorrow at 3 on the following bills: HCR 69, Administrative Areas for Limited Entry in the Aleutian Islands; House Bill 724, Photovoltaic Demonstration Project; 725, Photovoltaic Demonstration Project; House Joint Resolution 68, the Alaska Power Authority Bonds; House Joint Resolution 81, Decontrol Oil Price in Upper Cook Inlet; Senate Joint Resolution 60, the United States Agriculture Department establishing a plant quarantine center; House Bill 923, Supplemental Appropriations for the D2 Lands Issue; House Bill 688, Timber Cutting Rights; House Bill 437, Sale of State state Land Competitive Leases. So we're just going to start. The list will be posted. We'll start the top one and meet today at 3, work from 3 to 5, 7 to 9 tonight, and again at 3 tomorrow.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary meet at 3 this afternoon. We have Committee Substitute Senate Bill 340, Effectiveness of Administrative Regulations; Senate Bill 293, Amended, Presumptive Death; House Bill 981, Advisory Vote on State Control of Public Lands. And, Mr. Speaker, I would ask the members to be there on time if possible, and to warn everybody that there are all going to be some bills coming up on short notice as we get toward the end of the session.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, House says we'll work at 1:30 on House Bill 977, Health Insurance.
The House, please stand at ease.
Mr. Speaker.
We're close to a call of the House here, so we're going to revert back, if that's okay.
All I wanted to do is finish.
Representative Freeman, go ahead.
Under announcements.
Go ahead, Representative
Freeman. Finance Committee will meet on adjournment. Consider Senate Bill 80, Transfer General Fund Appropriation, U of A; House Bill 649, Appropriation Program Receipts, University of Alaska; Committee Substitute House Bill 118, Maintenance Stream Flow Water Levels; House Bill 529, regarding fish control, disease control; House Bill 983, Parole Offenders and Board of Parole; House Bill 1021, Senate Bill 140, Senate Bill 222, Fish Processing Loans.
Representative Brown.
Also under announcements, Mr. Speaker, at 4:30 this afternoon, if that's possible, the House Commerce Committee will attempt to meet, and we really would like to have the members there because of the agenda matters. We'll be talking about same agenda matters we had on this morning, our sunset legislation on APUC and the Senate bill on the plumbing code, and we really would like to try to get the members there. If we don't have enough people there, we'll just double up on tomorrow morning's calendar and do both tomorrow's business and today's business, too. I'd like to avoid that.
Representative Rogers.
I don't know if there's such a thing as a limited call of the House, but I'm going to withdraw my call of the House. But if anybody here leaves, I'm going to place it again.
If there, we'll revert back to the calendar. Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 644 by the Judiciary Committee, an act creating the Alaska Statehood Commission and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I believe there's a motion to return to second reading pending for the specific amendment offered by Mr. Miller on page 2, line 3, to delete the words "and the possibility of disassociation from the United States." Frankly, I believe that possibility can be studied regardless of whether or not the language is in here. And I believe that if the bill, if we do not delete that language, that the bill will never reach the governor's desk. And frankly, I'd like to see the legislation pass, and I would urge the body to support Representative Miller's amendment.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a co-sponsor of this bill, I would like to take this opportunity to speak against this amendment. As far as I'm concerned, the only substance in this whole bill is that portion of that section. And you know, my calculations are correct. Alaska, the state of Alaska, is about 21 years old now. And that's normally considered to be the time of maturity, the time when you can start making decisions for yourself. Well, perhaps the federal government has been condescending to this state over the last 21 years, waiting for us to grow up. Well, there are many of us who feel that we have grown up. And if there is any state of these 50 states that has the right to question the type of association we have with the federal government, it's the state of Alaska. Almost since its inception, 21 years ago, with the Statehood Act, the federal government has done everything possible to thwart the state receiving its lands. It came along sometime later, passed the Native Claims Act, and has done everything since that time to thwart the native peoples of this state from receiving their lands. It has imposed restrictions beyond comprehension, and the latest travesty is the Antiquities Act. Now, how can any red-blooded American or a red-blooded Alaskan stand here and question the need to remove that section of this bill in view of the things that this federal government has done to the state of Alaska and other states in this great union? If it had, the people at the Boston Tea Party had been as timid as we seem to be today, we wouldn't perhaps have these great United States of America. And if this amendment in fact passes, the bill itself is without substance. And I would rather stand up and say what we think. And for those of you who are maybe not aware of it, but for many years there's been an organization in Fairbanks called the Alaskan Independence Party, founded by one Joe Vogler. And I would challenge anybody here to question the loyalty of those people that belong and adhere to that party and advocate its premises. And far better that we pass this bill than to die the death that we are slowly dying under the quagmire of the federal government. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think that if someone votes for this amendment, they're questioning anybody's loyalty, but they are having a difference of opinion with regard to what is good judgment and good strategy. My understanding of the bill is in part to give a message to the folks elsewhere in the country, and I think that the response is going to be a response that was suggested in debate yesterday. And that is that 2 or 3 weeks after we've apparently gotten ourselves a bunch of money on the oversimplified and somewhat inaccurate stories floating around there, starting with a relatively accurate from the AP to totally inaccurate by the time we got CBS television, the result is going to be that they're going to see us doing something that says, okay, we've got ours, now let's go, you know. And we have enough enemies there as it is when we're trying, and that can be used against us in the emotional debates and lands issues. I think if you take into account an editorial piece or a feature piece written by Lieutenant Governor in the Fairbanks Daily News Miner's op-ed page a few days ago talking about the perceptions of Alaskans in Lower 48, you can see why this amendment is a good idea to this bill. And by the way, just as a matter of statistics, the state of Alaska, if I've done this correctly, is 21 years, 118 days, 5 hours and 30 minutes old.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with everything Representative Bettesworth said except his position on the amendment, and I think that the best policy for the House to adopt is to adopt the amendment offered by Mr. Miller. I urge its support.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment, I think, is important, but what really concerns me is what the first representative from Fairbanks said about it, that it doesn't have to be in there. We can address that issue anyway. And that's very true. As a free American citizen, you can address almost any issue you want. You don't need special appropriations or special bill. But now it's become all the more crucial to me. I wonder what the true intent of the individual presenting this bill. Whether it's in there or not, it, evidently, he can correct me. It seems like he was going to address the question anyway. I'd like to have a clarification on that.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The original bill, as introduced and co-sponsored by a number of people here, did not contain that exact language. However, it does contain language on page 2, line 8, other matters the commission considers germane to its purpose. And I think every similar commission in another territory of the United States that has looked at the alternative forms of association possible has considered the possibility of independence. Most have also considered statehood, territorial position. The Commonwealth of Puerto Rico considered continued commonwealth. Now we have new forms of association coming into existence, or potentially with the District of Columbia proposed constitutional amendment, and perhaps there are other alternatives as well. And I believe that whether or not this language is in here, that the Commission can consider all matters pertaining to the association between the people of Alaska and the United States.
Representative Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking to the proposed amendment to delete the language of the possibility of disassociation from the United States, Mr. Speaker, members of the body, I'm going to speak from some of my personal experience as having traveled on occasions to some countries which include the Finland country, Canada, Denmark, Greenland, Netherlands, and within the United States of America. The more I look at the government that we are in and we participate in, the more I feel that ours is the best. And at this time, at this moment, we are in a state of turmoil, world state of turmoil. I'm not talking about the USA. I'm talking about the other governments within the earth. My experience has been that when I've traveled, I make every effort to associate with those people that are not necessarily official, but those that as well as the public. I feel that although the possibility, the word possibility in the proposed amendment has tints of permissiveness, it should not be there. I respect Dr. Burns' arguments earlier. I feel with him. But at the same time, I have, speaking as per my experience, I feel that this language should be deleted. Thank you.
Question for the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. The motion is to return to second reading. Everybody caught that. The motion is to return to second reading for purposes of adopting Amendment Number 1. Takes 21 votes. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, may take final roll.
29 yeas, 9 nays.
We are in second reading. Will Clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Miller. Page 2, lines 3 and 4. Delete, comma, and the possibility of disassociation from the United States.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent for adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Question for the House is the adoption of amendment number 1. Speaker, Representative Byrne.
Just a comment here that perhaps if our forefathers had sent the same message to London, you know, 200 years ago, we wouldn't be the United States of America that we are today. I say let's send Washington a message, a real strong message. Thank you.
Amen. Question for the House, the adoption of amendment number 1. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
28 yeas, 10 nays.
Amendment number 1 has been adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 644 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill 644 amended will be engrossed, advanced, third reading, placed on final passage. Will Clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 644 amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act creating the Alaska Statehood Commission and providing for an effective date. Question.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think the point of this bill is that first of all, a change in Alaska's association with the United States is necessary. It's necessary for the people of Alaska, and I think it's necessary for the long-term good of the people of the United States as well. I think the second point is that change is possible, that we're seeing in recent events, both in the United States and other areas of the world, that it is possible for political associations to be changed in a nonviolent, reasonable manner. I think the third thing that's important is that we should prepare for these changes, whether it be at the Federal Constitutional Convention level, through legislation in the Congress or in the state of Alaska. It is important that we prepare for these kinds of changes. I believe this is positive legislation that will allow the state of Alaska to reassert the proper role of states within the federal union and will allow us an opportunity to respond to changes that come at the federal level. The Commission will broadly represent not only the three branches of government, but also the public as a whole. And I urge the members to adopt the legislation. I urge those who believe that we should also study disassociation to realize that if this bill doesn't pass, there's no chance of studying that. If this bill does pass, there is a chance.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I voted for this bill yesterday, but with the new amendment, I'm going to withdraw my support. The overwhelming objection that has come from one of the junior representatives here might not have had to come to something of this magnitude if that representative and other members of the Democratic leadership had not consistently blocked the people's effort and their desire to fight Washington on the D2 lands issue. And I think that's where that stems from. And I think that the lack of backbone that this body has shown is, in any case, Mr. Speaker, I withdraw my support.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As you will recall, when this bill was first on the floor, I stood and asked that my name be removed as a co-sponsor. I did that for a very good reason. And I'm going to read you part of this bill. The legal basis for new forms of association between the people of Alaska and the United States including amendments to the Constitution of the United States or of the State of Alaska. Mr. Speaker, my husband served the United States of America for 24 years. I believe that the United States of America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I do not believe that the Constitution of the United States needs to be amended. I do not support the call for a constitutional convention in the United States. And with that in mind, Mr. Speaker, and having listened to the testimony on this bill in the Judiciary Committee, and our form of government compared to other forms of government on the face of this earth, I no longer can support this bill. Thank you very much.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I have a friend that's considerably older than I am, if some of you can believe that, and he says there's a little good comes out of everything. And I'm sure there'll be a little good come out of this bill if it passes in its form after amendment. And it'll be a clear message to the people in Washington, D.C. that Alaska is happy with its colonial status.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have a spouse who served long years in the military, but I put in 20 years myself. And I don't think there's any relationship whatsoever between serving your country, as at least I've done, and thinking that changes are necessary. The Constitution is not a static piece of paper. It was given to us a couple hundred years ago with no changes to be necessary as time goes on. One more point, Mr. Speaker. A prior speaker from Anchorage attacked the majority for not trying to do something about the infringements the federal government has made on our rights. I'd like to remind that member that there were two Democrats in this body who introduced the bills for legal defense of those persons accused on trespassing on the on those monuments. I didn't see anything coming from him or anybody else on the other side of the fence.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a short note, I really think it's a shame that this House is even considering such a bill with all the ramifications when we consider today the many thousands of people that are giving up their lives trying to get to the United States right now, the thousands of people that are escaping from Cuba, the thousands of people that we are importing from Cambodia and Vietnam, people who are thought for America in different ways, people who are giving up their lives. Even Iran, it seems like there's some over there who are now believing that America is right and willing to help us. Rather than waste a lot of money on this bill and the implications that it might cause, I think it might be a lot cheaper if many of the members here go back to college during the interim, and I'm sure UA would be glad to have a special course on history for them.
Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 644. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
22 yeas, 16 nays.
I have 22, 16.
House Bill 644 has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Question for the House is the adoption of the effective date clause in House Bill 644. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
29 yeas, 9 nays.
The effective date clause has been adopted. It completes the calendar. Try announcements of committee meetings once more. Are there any further announcements of committee meetings? Special Representative Brown.
In addition to my earlier announcement for a 4:30 Commerce meeting, we will, of course, have the meeting scheduled for tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock that is consideration of other bills that have been before us, and to the extent we don't finish the work today, that will go into tomorrow also.
Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, CRA will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning and take up House Bill 1010, Capital Projects Foundation Fund.
Further announcements? Special orders? Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, just a point of information mostly. Considering the late date that a lot of people were excused today from the call of the House, does the leadership have any idea when we might get out of here and adjourn before more damage is done?
I'm hoping we'll get out of here before 2 o'clock today. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, before we adjourn, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Branson be excused from the call of the House May 16 and 19, through 19.
There's no objection. Representative Branson will be excused on those dates. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative O'Connell be excused from the call of the House May 15 and 16.
There's no objection. Representative O'Connell will be excused on May 15th and 16th. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.